It is episode 29 of the Idiosyncratic Transmissions podcast. I'm your host, Matt the Mattman Breyer. Idiosyncratic Transmissions, bringing the eclectic straight to your ears each and every week. Independent music cultivated from around the internet and packaged together in a handy and compact listening format that you can take with you. That's the beauty of podcasting. Coming up in this episode, we've got all kinds of music from Americana to psychedelic rock to singer-songwriter and genres in between, I'm sure. I'm going to kick this episode off with one from Tessa Drummond. Tessa Drummond is a singer-songwriter and performer that defies convention and sets a standard for commercial music with an eclectic edge. Influences can be drawn from those of Tori Amos, Bjork, and Kate Bush, but Tessa's immutable style and voice is both unique and edgy and has an appeal to a wide audience because of its far-reaching soundscapes, production grooves, and interesting lyrics. Her debut album, entitled Days Like This from 2004, is a collection of introspective songs that mirror the sometimes unpredictable artists and crosses many musical boundaries from acoustic pop to rock. Days Like This is the result of the development of Tessa's songwriting she made at home in Auckland, New Zealand, with her acoustic guitar during the years of 1999 and 2000. The sound floats on smooth, alternative pop rock production with guitars, strings, electronic beats, experimental sounds, and African percussion. This is the title track off of that album, Days Like This, here on Idiosyncratic Transmissions.
Like to be in love.
This next artist has a fairly interesting background story, one I'm not sure if it sounds just real enough to be true and just interesting enough to be manufactured, perhaps. The band is Secret Squirrel, and that's spelled S-K-W-I-R-L, and the title of the album is Nothing Is Real, which perhaps should be the first clue. Here's the story. In late 2009, a recording engineer, Sheldon Gomberg, and a friend of his drove by a garage sale in Tarzana, California, and noticed a stack of 2-inch tape boxes. After a brief discussion with the homeowner, he found out that the tapes had apparently been left in a closet under the stairs of her home and were there when she moved in. She found the tapes when the wood floors of the house were being refinished. She was the fourth owner of the home, which was built, according to her, in 1972. There were 23 boxes of tape, which Sheldon bought for $47 that he had in his wallet at the time. Sheldon took the tapes back to his recording studio, the Carriage House in Silver Lake, and cracked them open. The only information in the boxes were song lists with the name Sloan Kramer written by hand beside each title. A quick count of the titles totaled slightly over 100 songs. Sheldon had the tapes baked to avoid delamination and digitized for playback in Pro Tools. Being a fan of this type of music, Sheldon was immediately enamored by what he heard. The songs were very well written and recorded. They smacked of late 60s, early 70s Britpop psychedelic vibe. I fell in love with these songs at the first listen. There was just one problem. I had no idea who these guys were, only the cryptic Sloan Kramer reference beside each title. Sheldon took it upon himself to try and find the original band, but he had little to go on. In the meantime, while on hiatus from his gig as producer, mixer, engineer, and musician, he decided to mix several of the tracks. He overdubbed some of the horn samples, tuned a few of the vocal tracks, and with the addition of some other tricks of the trade, he made the recordings sound very current while retaining their vintage feel. Now, Sheldon's labor of love seemed more like a mission, obsessed with wanting to know who wrote and recorded these songs, and having finished mixes in hand, what was he to do next? I decided I had to release these songs, the album, as it were, in homage to the guys on the tape, who were obviously huge Beatle fans. I decided to have the mastering done at Abbey Road. He dubbed the project Secret Squirrel, registered the songs with BMI, and asked a friend of his to draw and direct the animated video for the song Geez Louise, and released the album. In his continuing effort to locate the real band, Sheldon started a website, www.secretsquirrel.com. Remember, it's S-K-W-I-R-L. Hoping the answers to the mystery will come to him from cyberspace. In this day and age of social networking, someone must know who these guys are. Sheldon intends to keep any income generated by the album sales or song placements until he finds rightful owners of the song. He's currently mixing the next batch of Secret Squirrel songs for the second CD. Stay tuned. Definitely a throwback feel, so even if the story is true, that would explain why this feels as late 60s, early 70s as it does. Very, very comparable to like Elliott Smith, the Beatles, the Zombies, the Who. But even if the story is just marketing ploy, it's great music. So here you go. This is Blow It Away by Secret Squirrel.
She picks up a dandelion. She makes a wish and she sends it flying. She holds it up to her lips and she blows it away. The wind, 'cause it did. she blows it away. Set of trips on a wing and the bread, cause she has not a care in the world. Doesn't know how much we really care, doesn't know how much we miss our girl.
Next up, we have Lit on the Flash. Lit on the Flash are a three-piece alternative rock band from Maine. The band's second self-titled album will be released online on May 15th. Lit on the Flash is Jake Roque on guitar and vocals, Kerry Ryan on drums, and Matt Rankin on bass. Emily Burnham of the Bangor Daily News had this to say about the band. Together, they make glorious racket that harkens back to their longtime favorites like The Who, Pearl Jam, The Black Crowes, and Neil Young, updated with a groovy Black Keys beat. Roque is a born rock guitarist with his long hair and flannel, and Ryan and Rankin form a powerful rhythmic foundation for Roque's guitar pyrotechnics. I cannot read today. I cannot read any week, apparently. Their debut album, Revolution Time, came out in August of 2011, and it's as loud and rocking as it is smart. Roque has a penchant for intelligent lyrics that give the band an unexpected edge. Can't remember offhand if this is off their, I believe this is off their first album, although it could be off the new one. And the new album, as I said, will be available on May 15th at www.litontheflash.net. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Here is Lit on the Flash with All Her Flowers here on Idiosyncratic Transmissions.
I climbed a mountain, one with my love.
Next up, we go to Austin, Texas for the Matt Wilson Band. Matt Wilson has played every kind of concert venue there is, from a Broadway theater in New York City to a packed rockin' bar on downtown Austin's famed 6th Street. For 2 years, Matt Wild sold out audiences as a piano man in the first national tour of the Billy Joel Twilight Tharp musical Moving Out. He performed at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney and guest starred in the Carolina Opry at Myrtle Beach in 2006. The Texas State Senate has honored Wilson with a resolution for his achievements in the area of fine arts. He's been featured at numerous piano bars around the country, such as Jelly Rolls at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. In 2007, Matt completed his theatrical multimedia tribute to the great rock and roll piano players, My Baby Grand. Each year, Matt Wilson headlines numerous private and social events for companies and parties of all sizes. Matt Wilson offers the ultimate in entertainment. He never fails to elicit excitement from his audience, and he does so with intelligence and verve. With 5 CDs to his credit, Wilson's songwriting is catchy without being pandering and is infused with a degree of depth not to be expected in most of the pop world. When requested, Wilson calls on his massive repertoire of cover tunes and performs them with an energy and artistry equal to the original. Late 2011, Matt decided to take one last look at the material that defined the band from 2000 to 2010. Volume 2000 to 2010 was released in April of this year. It consists of songs from the album Revolving Doors, Matt Wilson EP, and Press On EP. Revolving Doors was recorded while Matt was on tour with Moving Out in 2004. The remaining material is a collection of songs written and recorded post Moving On. The band has been singing these tunes at our shows for some time now, Matt reflects. Before we start an entirely new record, I wanted to remaster our favorites and release them together. We are celebrating the first decade of Matt Wilson Band, 10 years of my company, Matt Wilson Entertainment, and 10 years working with my manager, Mike Mordecai. It just seems to make sense that we look back one more time before we move forward. Matt adds, it's fun for the band to listen to what we sounded like then, how the writing and the sound has changed over the years. That being said, I know most certainly that the material will be new to a lot of people, so in many ways, Volume is a new release. This is the Matt Wilson Band with Bring It.
We're gonna bring it down to the water, like John the Baptist said. Gonna bring it down to the people, gonna bring it to the head. Gonna bring it down to the lovers walking on that street. Gonna bring it down to the shakers so they can move their feet. Gonna make you move.
Alright, well, that is just alright.
Gonna make you move.
Alright, that is just alright. Just alright,
gonna make you move.
Alright, that is just alright.
Gonna bring it down to the water, like John the Baptist said. Walking on that street.
Up next is Nashville artist Morgan Bracey. And this is about her new album, End of the Cinderella. It's a different story than the one they tell you. Life's not the picture that I read about when I was a kid, but it's better, says Morgan Bracey, who was raised in a small town in Tennessee, where church was big and sin was broadly defined. When I went off to college, I realized there were invisible chains that were holding me back, and a lot of guilt imposed that I shouldn't have accepted. Though she'd been singing in school and church throughout her childhood, and writing songs since age 11, it was not until she enrolled in college at Middle Tennessee State University, 2 hours in a world away, that an inner artist began to emerge, as she wrote and performed with a group called Broken Pottery. Since starting to write with top Nashville songsmiths 3 years ago, Morgan has further developed her craft, procuring several single-song publishing deals, as well as holds from A-list country artists. But it's in her more personal, emotionally charged compositions that her secret heart shines through, as in her critically acclaimed debut indie album, Dirty Laundry. Shortly after its release in 2007, Morgan was introduced to producer John Merchant, who has worked with such legends as Barbra Streisand, Celine Dion, and the Bee Gees, as well as the recent pop phenomenon Micah. It never happens this way, Morgan says, but he actually went home and listened to my whole album, called me up and said, "This is good, but we're going to take you to the next level. I want to work with you." While surveying songs for the project, John and Morgan found an ongoing theme that became central to the forthcoming album, Fairy Tales Gone Wrong. "As a writer, you'll go through chapters, and I realized I was painting a picture," Morgan says. "That picture, illustrated by songs like End of Cinderella and When the Spell is Broken, comes sharply into focus with standout track She Believes, which won first place in the 2009 Indie International Songwriting Contest, with its poignant depiction of a battered woman who stubbornly, foolishly stands by her man because she believes in fairy tales that every damsel in distress is rescued. With its lush orchestration, expressive vocals, and sophisticated songwriting, End of Cinderella perfectly captures Morgan's organic pop sound that has been called folk for the modern ears by Music Row magazine. Drawing inspiration from major influences including Joni Mitchell, Patty Griffin, and Mindy Smith, singer-songwriters who know how to tell a story, Morgan Bracey takes familiar stories and makes them new again, disassembling old-fashioned ideas and putting them back together in a way that she can accept. "I still think I'm on that journey to completely stand on my own feet, to test everything by my heart, and to see if it rings true to me," Morgan says. End of Cinderella's lyric soundscape follows that journey from once upon a time to happily ever after, and back again to reality, which, as it turns out, is infinitely more interesting. This is from that album, is the song When the Spell is Broken.
You were leading me up one stair, up to a tower where there was a door and a key. In a trance it seemed, I obeyed your every word. You were feeding me soft-spoken lies, fooling me with your gentle lies, until I let down my guard and exposed my heart to a wolf in a lamb's disguise. Moon and stars are gone, back where they belong. And it's fine with me, 'cause I'd rather be alone than lonely with someone.
Down with
we're coming up to the end of this week's episode of Idiosyncratic Transmissions, and before we get to the last act, I just want to let you know if you're a band, you'd like to have your music played on the show, or if you're a fan of the show and you'd just like to send me some email, go out to www.idiosyncratictransmissions.com, click on Contact Me in the upper menu bar, and it'll take you to a page. It gives you several options. There's a form you can fill out and send to me. You can email me directly at mattman@idiosyncratictransmissions.com. You can call us on our Google Voice line at 502-509-1607. Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/idiosyncpod, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/idiosyncpod as well. You'll notice that there's a new layout to the website. Well, it's pretty much the same basic layout with a new theme. That might change yet again if I find another theme I like better. Kind of in that transition period where I'm trying to lock down on something and leave it for a while, but the one I have up, I like. It's pretty clean, and it's utilizing more of the more of the screen space than the other one was, so that was a plus. Also, I haven't gone formal, kind of formally launched last week, but there hasn't been a big announcement yet. I am running a webcast now on loudcaster.com. If you go out to loudcaster.com and do a search on Idiosyncratic Transmissions, there's also a direct link to it on the website. In the right-hand column, the first subheading is webcast. You click on that and it'll take you out there, playing all kinds of music, including music that has shown up on this show. Coming up, trying to think if there's anything else. There may be some changes I'm making to the podcast feed. If you subscribe through iTunes or through another podcatcher, hopefully it won't have any impact. But if you notice that all of a sudden all the shows re-download, kind of like NPR did to me a couple of weeks ago, then I do apologize, but it should be a one-time thing. And I think that's all I've got for now. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. So we're going to end this episode with this artist. Artist is Stephen Emerson, independent singer-songwriter out of Berkeley, California. And just completed the 100 Days Project. With music that could be compared to Iron and Wine and Jack Johnson, Berkeley-based singer-songwriter, soundtrack composer, and filmmaker Stephen Emerson has embarked on a unique online project to promote his upcoming album. Emerson, who got a start with internationally renowned post-punk band True West in the 80s, before beginning a solo career in New York, released his third record, Song of Love, on April 10th. Leading up to the release, he launched his 100 Days Project. Every day for 100 days leading up to the album's release, Emerson rummages through his rucksack of memories to blog about specific, significant dates in his life, calling up vivid professional and personal experiences that include everything from touring with REM to asking his girlfriend to marry him. Presented as a random kaleidoscope of memories in no particular order, they compose a fascinating portrait of one man's journey. Stephen Emerson is emerging from self-imposed obscurity with a creative resurgence that includes a new album, Song of Love, as well as the rebirth of a record he made some 20 years ago as part of New York City's singer-songwriter scene. The Berkeley-based balladeer cites the inspiration Leonard Cohen. I had seen Leonard many years ago at Madison Square Garden, Emerson says. Seeing him again in 2010 just blew my mind. With such a generosity, singing songs that brought people to tears and made them laugh. After spending years in meditation in a Buddhist monastery, he had come out a different person with a deeper understanding of the world. Digging deeper is, in essence, a large part of Emerson's own story. And this is from that album, and the title of the song is Paper Crown. Wrapping up this episode of Idiosyncratic Transmissions, I hope you've enjoyed listening to it as much as I've enjoyed putting it together for you, and we'll be back next week with more eclectic music.
When we walk on a windy day, I feel my heart might blow away, and I overflow. way that your hair hangs down underneath your paper crown, and I'm wide awake with you. You turn to me and smile, and the world comes alive, the sky is shining in. Watch the waves sail the sea. Every day is eternity. And I lose myself in you. You lift your face to the falling rain. I wave goodbye to a passing train. And I cry tears of joy. Turn to me and smile, and the world comes alive, the sky is shining in your eyes. And I'm overflowing.